as you came in, please refer to it. First, this gray card. Outside, the cover of it shows earnestly contending for the faith. We are living in a time of great deception, and all Christians who are of the persuasion of the truth are called to earnestly contend for the faith against the great deception. In this quarter, which begins today, may I remind you, in the last quarter of 2008, a year that is fast fleeting by, for the first 9 weeks, that is the months of October and November, we shall deal with end time events. You realize the hymn we sang at the opening, "A mighty fortress is our God," is rarely sung in other churches. It is the war cry of the Reformation. See the Reformation as a great event of uprising against the established church in the name of our Savior. It was a holy battle, a war. And God raised up a man called Martin Luther who dared to defy the power of mighty Rome. Please understand, this is history, that at that time the whole of Europe was under the control and power of Rome, and the Pope was the chief power in his hands, both ecclesiastical power and secular or political power, all in his hands. Great was his power. But one man, Martin Luther, was raised of God, and he wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God." That became the battle hymn of the Reformation. What was the Reformation? It was an event. Initially, it was thought that perhaps the church could be cleansed, reformed, all that is impure, false, offensive, taken away. Then the church will become good. That was the intention. That's why the name is called Reformation. Reform. Make good. The result of it was a new church came into being. The Protestant church. We'll go into that. You all have received this yellow pamphlet. Please keep this carefully. For reference, we shall refer to it from time to time over the next 2 months. For it was God's doing. Please understand, our God is in complete control of history. We are living in the very end days of history. And every event of history is timed of God. When Jesus would be born was time of God. In the book of Galatians it says, in the fullness of the time, not a day sooner, not a day later, Jesus was born. The same for the crucifixion and his death, not a day sooner, not a day later, Jesus came, face fixed as a flint to Jerusalem, going straight to the cross to keep the Passover, an event that was in the calendar of the Jews to keep that event. God had his timing. Jesus rose. Jesus ascended. Then he sent the Holy Spirit and came for the church. All these events are timed of God, Lord of history. Please follow this calendar of events as we shall look into each of these events according to the chapter. Now to the scripture that we have just read. Revelation chapter 17, a chapter which you will learn to love and to cherish as we go through these 2 months. There are a few words I would like to explain before we go back to the scripture. The Church of Jesus Christ, as shown here, the Church is also referred to as the Bride. You and I, today, are to keep ourselves spotless, a pure believer, a virgin, unstained and untainted by the sins and the evil of this world, to be the spotless bride. That is the church. Bride and church here refer to the same thing. God's word tells us, while Jesus has given us this wonderful organization of the church, the adversary, the one who put Jesus to the cross, who opposes everything that is good, opposing the church, comes forth with a counterfeit church. The whore, immoral woman, the false church. Very deceptive, very seductive. That is a whore. You understand what it is? The other word for whore is harlot, prostitute, that mankind choose to go to the prostitute and not to the bride of Christ. That gives us an understanding of what we are talking about. Why there was a need for reformation when the church was actually the whore. Now back to Revelation 17. Verse 6. I beg your pardon, you go backwards a little. Verse 1. There came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Today we do not see the judgment of the great whore. That is the great false church. Please read now with understanding that the word of God is so marvelous to describe in pictorial language a false church that will be judged today, not yet. Today that church is in control of the whole world in a way that you could never understand, never imagine. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, to be associated and to love this immoral woman in all the activities offered by that church. You know that perhaps over 150 or 60 countries have diplomatic exchange with the Vatican. Here it is. Read this. The kings of the earth have committed fornication. Fornication is a happy, loving, intimate relationship, diplomatic ties. And the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of a fornication. This is the only church that is in almost practically every country. And once they are into that system, they feel it is the system. That is it. Never change. I speak to my Filipina maid. Come and believe on the Lord Jesus. It's the same one. You and I, the same. Drunk with the wine of the fornication, the false religion. They feel pretty good. Every Sunday she goes early to her church. And she is very secure in the false security. This is the kind of hold that this church has on its members in every country of the world. How many members are there? Can you guess? As many as the whole population of China. How many is the Chinese population? 1.3 billion. Roman Catholic Church, 1.3 billion. Right. This is the size of the church. And everybody feels comfortable. I'm with this church. It's global. It's international. It is the church, the biggest. And this church called itself Mother of All Churches. Now we have to deal with this church diplomatically, peaceably, because it is part of the system on this earth. Verse 3, so he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now this woman sitting on a scarlet colored beast, having seven heads and 10 horns, here is a clue. And it is too involved for me to try and explain to you, but this refers to the Roman power, seven heads and 10 horns. So it is. This church is a Roman church. Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, very, very, very rich. The richest organization in the whole planet Earth. Its wealth is unspeakable, unimaginable. And in her hand a golden cup, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. In other words, the religious system is not Bible-centered, but it is full of error and corrupt, unscriptural, unholy ideas. Verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots. Meaning to say, exactly as she claims, mother of all churches, add the word false before the churches. Now I read to you again. Mother of all false churches. As I will show you, as you have on your chart here, look at this number 2 of the chart. Right. It is so important, and please don't lose this chart. It took me hours to prepare it. The whole of history, the whole of movement of nations, the whole political and religious movement is moving downwards and to the right of this chart, towards a round organization called Oikumene. What is that? One world. Read down at the bottom, New World Order. It is coming. It is already very well advanced in formation. We are here now talking to ourselves practically, a lone voice in the wilderness. Who else? In what other church will they ever tell you all these things? That here is a system that eventually will lead to a new world order. Look at the circle, ecumenical movement. Many people in many churches today feel comfortable. Oh, it is so good to meet other Christians and to feel the oneness, unity, all one in Christ. Is that so? There is great deception. Deception is a counterfeit. And a counterfeit is something that looks like the real thing, but it is not the real thing. Now look at this circle again. The components of this great system is world religions. When the Pope calls, all the major religions flock to the meeting place. World Day of Prayer, everybody comes. Muslims, Hindus, all other religions come together and they pray together. World religions to form oikumene, one world. This is the meaning of this. Plus atheists also welcome. Together they form on the top kingdom of God. While God's kingdom is formed in the true church that you have here in Calvary Pandan. And every church where only Jesus is exalted, only the cross is held high, only the doctrine according to the Bible, the Word of God, is read and believed and obeyed. In this church, there is a great combination of 2, 3, and 4. Now, please see 2, 3, and 4. Modernism. What is modernism? It's a system of religion using the Bible but having different meanings, totally different meanings. For example, if you say the man is set free from his sins, liberated, you know what they interpret as? Liberated from your imperial and capitalist masters by the Marxist principle. Their liberation, set free. So they are so-called religion, but it is modernism, a false religion, not Christian. And they form the bulk of this group going into the ecumenical movement. Number three, new evangelicalism. What is that? Once upon a time in the 1920s, they believe as we do. The precious blood of Jesus only saves. And we all must stand together against the apostasy, separate. New evangelicalism is no more separation. We must join hands with unbelievers and cooperate. Number four, something that came later, perhaps by the middle of last century, a so-called Holy Spirit movement. People suddenly burst out in tongues, in visions, in dreams, and miracles, and healings, and they say that is Holy Spirit. And they all are heading to one direction, to Rome. So is modernism, new evangelicalism, charismatism, all of them are heading to Rome. How about us? Isn't it good? Everybody join hands. Why talk about reformation? Reformation not today is a bad word. It is said to be a quarrel of brothers. And the sooner brothers make up and be friends and loving, the better it is. Now you understand what we read. Revelation 17:5. Mystery, Babylon the Great. The mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. There is no greater period of history than the persecution of Christians following the Reformation. When men and women, even children, willingly, because of their faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, willingly go to their death. Whether by torture, or by fire, or by sword, willingly go. How can the people do such things? Answer is, when God's Spirit comes, men and women value not their bodies unto death, only the faith. They go. Where does it say? Verse 6. I saw this woman, this harlot, the false church, drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And I wondered with great admiration, wow, what kind of church? And everybody's flocking to it now. This great organization called Oikumene, One World, New World Order. Verse 9. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Do you know? Rome is built on seven hills. This is geographical information and geographic fact for you. And this is here, so you can identify. Verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Not yet, not today. But that is coming when, you say? Let me ask you, do you know when? When the Lord Jesus shall return, He will judge with a sword that comes out of His mouth, which is the Word of God. Oh, that Word is so powerful because it is the Word of God. And God does not need to use any weapons, only the Word of God with which He created, with which He judges, and with which He destroys the enemy. And He is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and they that are with Him are called chosen and faithful. Verse 15. And He said to me, the waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. As I said just now, how many followers are there of this system? 1.3 billion people, 1,300 million people. Verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Every great president, head of state, cannot but go and pay homage wherever the Pope goes. This is it. Now, dear friends, turn to Revelation, turn to 2 Thessalonians, and we shall then go on to the Morning Star. Second Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3. The development of this false church has got a great significance in eschatology, in the order of the fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 3 and 4 only. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day the return of Jesus Christ shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We all are expecting the coming of the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul here writes to alert the people that there will be many people who claim Jesus will come, but there is one sign you must watch for. And that one sign is the appearing of the Antichrist, a man who claims to be like Christ and who will sit in the throne of God and be worshipped. When you see that, you know Jesus is coming soon. Verse 4. This man opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We see this already. I've shown you the pictures years ago, and we will not go into that. That there is only one person on the whole of planet Earth that sits on the throne, and men come and worship him. When he came to the Philippines, people went there and camped out in the open for 2 days just to catch a glimpse. And when they saw this great man called His Holiness, they fell down and worshipped him. Now we come to the Reformation. And then we talk of the morning star of the Reformation. This is the 16th century Reformation. What is the Reformation? It is the awakening of certain men that God called, that God opened their eyes. The Reformation was a great period when God raised many men, not just Martin Luther, but others like John Calvin, John Knox, and in England, which we are going to see in a moment, men and women who rose and say, back to the Bible. We must get back to the Bible to tell ourselves what is the way ahead. What is the real reality of developments today? How can you know? The Word of God, back to the Bible. When it came to the realization that this church is a corrupt church, you cannot continue in that church, out came a separation, biblical separation, to form the Protestant church. Today, the word Protestant is seldom heard. The only word that is commonly mentioned today is, you know what? What is the word? Christian. Yes, everybody is Christian. When I began practice, when they register as a patient, they always put there, Catholic or Christian. Different, no more today. God raised men like Martin Luther and others, and the Reformation movement turned back to the truth. This line represents the truth. The true church goes straight through until the Lord calls, and then we go up. You and I belong to this black line here, from the cross to the rapture of the church. All this happened because of the Bible. Today we read only the King James Bible. Is that relevant? Answer, dear friends, the Reformation gave us one Bible, only one. The King James Bible. That Bible cost the blood of hundreds who dared to read, and the blood of three men who translated. Only that Bible, not the modern English Bibles. The modern English Bibles cost the people who translate big fat purses in their salary, in the income, in the copyright. All the new English Bibles have copyright, and the NIV alone sold 100 million copies. Can you imagine the amount of money that came into Rupert Murdoch's company? Do you know Rupert Murdoch? The greatest media tycoon, mogul they call him. He owns News Corp and many other organizations, and he bought over Zondervan, produced NIV. But we say no. We are sons of the Reformation, therefore we use the Reformation Bible. This is a Reformation movement. those who did not come out to form the Protestant Church continue in the apostate church, which is distinguished by one thing, one major thing, an image worshipping church. Now, the Protestant Church grew because of the martyrs and the church fathers who came out of the church to form the Protestant Church. However, tonight our topic is the morning star of the Reformation. 2 centuries before Martin Luther, God had already worked in the person of an Englishman in England. Right here we see him. His name is John Wycliffe. You know, Oxford University, one of the most famous, in the 14th century, the most famous, the most advanced, and the most prestigious university in the whole world was Oxford. Oxford gave the best scholars, most highly sought after, but Oxford also gave the world a man, John Calvin. Who was John Calvin? Sorry, John Wycliffe. Right, this is confusion of age now. John Wycliffe, professor, theologian, reformer, and patriot. He looked at the church. Our English church is under the control of Rome. How can it be? He reasoned to himself, let me study the scriptures. And to his horror, he found the church was a very corrupt church. How can those who pretend to preach the gospel, to represent God to men, as priests, cardinals, bishops, live an immoral and a wicked life? They were there, in power. John Wycliffe opposed them, opposed the Roman tax collectors taking English money back to Rome. As a patriot, he rose against it. As a man of God, he said, there is only one thing that can save my country. That is, every man must be able to read God's word in English and not in Latin. In those days, the only Bible was Latin, and only the priests and the priestly class could read Latin and read the Latin Bible to explain it to the people. You can't read the Bible because you don't know Latin. And you've got to come to me. I'm the priest, I'll tell you. But those priests were corrupt. And so, John Wycliffe translated the Bible. He and his team translated the Bible and then multiplied the Bible by copying. You know how long it takes to copy one Bible? 10 months for one copyist to carefully copy without making mistakes to produce one copy of Bible. John Wycliffe produced the first ever English Bible in history. Now you say he's a great man. Surely he is a great man to give the country the word of God in their own language. But I say, dear friends, John Wycliffe did something more important than just translating the Bible and producing copies of the Bible. John Wycliffe brought together young men into his theology school to instruct them in the word of God, to show them the priceless worth of the soul and the need for every believing Christian to witness. So he trained these young English men to go and preach the gospel to the people in the countryside throughout the whole length and breadth of England, in bands of young people. Let me show you a picture so that you have an idea of what was happening. This is John Wycliffe, together with his team. And these are the young men who were going to preach. They had to learn to live the life of poverty. Going for the Lord is not for money, but learn to live simply and frugally and be poor for the sake of the gospel, suffer and go. And above all, John Wycliffe taught them not to be afraid of death. That's not easy. Today, the only people we see that are doing that are the suicide groups of the Arabs and the Muslims. Amazing. That they believe that if they were to die for a good cause, there are 72 virgins waiting for them up in heaven. Now this is the doctrine. And they believe it, and they willingly go as walking bombs and bomb people, and they bomb themselves. But this is a different story altogether. Christ Jesus died for us. And His gospel has got to go to the dying, to those who do not know the way of salvation. Let us go and tell them. But they say it's not safe. Because the church is also watching, and soon they were arrested, burned at the stake with the Tyndale, with the Wycliffe Bible hung round their necks and burned. That period is no more. We don't see it today. But at that time, God's Spirit raised up those who were not afraid of death, that they were faithful even unto the death. John Wycliffe provoked the anger of Rome. So the Roman bishops came for him. They were going to catch him and to burn him. God saved him. God saved him in a marvelous way. He suffered a stroke and he died. So he was buried. But the Romans said, oh no, we will not let him go. 44 years after his burial and death, they dug up his bones and said, we will punish him, burn him up. How foolish. And they took the ashes and threw it into the river, which flowed into the sea. And the ashes carried by the ocean water around the world spread the good news that here is a man who is not afraid to resist the power of Rome, even at the cost of his own life. So much so that thereafter, when it came to the time of the Reformation, men and women who risked their lives to possess copies of Tyndale Bible, the first Bible translated not from Latin. Remember, Wycliffe translated from the Latin Vulgate, the Latin, because he didn't know and he didn't have the texts of Hebrew and Greek. But when they came to Tyndale, they translated from Hebrew and Greek and gave to the English people their first Bible translated from English, from Hebrew and from Greek. That sparked the Reformation in England and brought the whole of England out of the clutches of Rome to be an independent Protestant church. Morning star of the Reformation is this man called John Wycliffe. And his preaching was so powerful plus the Bible that he translated, spread to the continent, to the country of Bohemia. You say, where is Bohemia? It's the modern Czechoslovakia. And there it won a host of believers and followers and touched the heart of John Huss, who became the hero of the Reformation there. Morning Star in England was John Wycliffe. Morning Star in Europe was John Huss. And they burned him, and they burned Wycliffe's bones. But bones and body they may burn, but you cannot destroy the truth of God. Reformation was yet 2 centuries away, but God already had the Morning Star to shine for the light of the Reformation. Dear friends, may this story of how God worked cause us to awake, to know the peril of the times we are living in, when great ignorance and deception has descended on the church, that we all are one. Oikoumene. Oikoumene means one world. We all are in one organization. New World Order is coming. One church is coming. United. All in the ecumenical movement. God help us. Bring your friend. This series of 9 messages will tell us all you ought to know, you need to know about the end time deception. God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, grant that we may understand the truth of the end time events, to know that we live in the last of the last days, and that the deception will be the greatest just before the dawn of our Lord's return, that we, being warned, may be forearmed to resist the great temptation and deception that is on the way. O Lord, may Thou preserve Thy people in this church and other churches who have heard the gospel, who have heard the truth, that we will stand fast, looking only unto Jesus, our soon coming King. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. We close.